Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
And well, again, we're so glad you're here with us today. I want to give a shout out. There I am. I want to give a shout out to those watching and listening online. Glad you're joined in, tuned in as well. A couple of quick announcements before we jump into the message. And I got to tell you, friend, I got a good one for us today. I think God's going to really encourage you and challenge you and strengthen your faith. But before we jump to that, two quick things, because we got a lot of exciting things that are happening here at the church. In fact, this Friday of this week coming up, we've got an all-nighter for our teenagers. We're really excited about that. And if you want to sign up to serve, if you're crazy like that, you can sign on up. But we got a whole host of adults that are going to have this campus ready, specifically upstairs. And our students are going to have a good time. And then this Saturday, we've got our ugly Christmas sweater party. And we've got so much planned for that. That's a free family event. And so much more I could say. But I want to highlight the next two Sundays for us. Because next Sunday, December the 15th, this is for our Christ Covenant family and friends. We're praying, we're believing God for our special one-time-a-year Christmas offering. That's next Sunday. And a couple of things you need to know about that. Number one, if you're going to participate like my family and I in that offering, it's above and beyond the tithe, then you need to notate that on an offering envelope if you're here in the room next week. Okay, and so there's a space underneath the tithe and offering section that says special offering right underneath it. Let us know so we can put it in the right place. And then secondly, if you're here and you give online, and many people do, or you're watching, listening online, and you give online, there's a drop-down menu that you've seen there. And normally you select tithes and offerings, but there's one right underneath that called the Christmas offering. So make sure that we get those funds in the right place. And here's something exciting, is that we've got people, friend, that are already giving towards our Christmas offering. People that know they're going to be out of town next week and they've already given, I'm telling you, we're moving forward strongly together, and I can't wait to see what God does in us and through us. And then two Sundays from now, really excited about this. In fact, would you humor me if you're in the room? Would you grab this card, this bring invitation that was either in your seat or right beside you? Just humor me, okay? And please don't throw them away, because we see them in the trash can and it hurts my feelings, all right? So take it with you. This is your bring invitation, your card, because I'm inviting you to come on out two Sundays from now to our special, spectacular Christmas at Christ Covenant service. I'm telling you, it's going to be amazing. But not just that, we've been kind of short on some of the details because we want to surprise you. Maybe you've seen stuff on a roadside banner, on our website, or on social media, but we got a lot more that's planned. In fact, I want to tell you something that we just got settled. This last week, we confirmed not only are we going to have Christmas music, sing Christmas carols together, a full band of worship, but we also have a violinist and a cellist that are going to join us for our spectacular Christmas service. They're going to be a part of the whole worship set on that Sunday, two Sundays from now, but they're also going to join in for something special we're going to do at the very end of service. And so mark your calendars for that. If you're staying in town for Christmas and you got family or friends coming to you, bring them with you that Sunday. If you're thinking about going out of town, wait until after the service to go out of town. I'm just telling you, it's going to be a great, great Sunday. Well, we're in part two of a series that we're calling His Name Shall Be. And each week of this series, we're reading our theme verses. So if you got a Bible with you or a Bible app on your smartphone, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9, two verses, verses 6 and 7. And in these verses, this is a prophecy from the prophet Isaiah predicting hundreds of years later of what Jesus would look like. In fact, Isaiah gives us four names here that we're about to read. And each week in this series is real special. We're going through one of those names so we can find out just who Jesus is. And we're kicking it old school, okay? So it's the King James Version. But Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, I'm going to read this, give you the focus, and then we're going to jump to the New Testament. So I hope you're ready to put your Bible to work today. Starting in verse 6, Isaiah chapter 9, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be," that would be a good title for a series, y'all, "his name shall be Wonderful Counselor," that was last week, "The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So part two today, we're going to look at that second name. And this is the title, by the way. So if you're taking notes, jot this down. We're going to talk about the mighty God. Because friend, our Savior, the Savior of the world, he is a mighty God. Now, if you're in the Bible, I want you to turn to the New Testament with me. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to read four verses together, verses 9 through 12, and this is our main text. Last week, we went through in detail Isaiah and some background. If you're brand new or you weren't here last week, I'd encourage you to check that out on the podcast or our YouTube page. But Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 9, and this is going to be out of the New Living Translation, and here's what God says in his holy word. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. Talking about the incarnation. We spoke about that last week. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and every authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. Verse 12, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted not in yourself, you trusted in the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much, and I'm so thankful any time that we gather together, not just to read from your holy word, but allow our lives to be opened up to what you have to say directly into the very situation that we find ourselves in. And so, God, for those underneath the sound of my voice that are struggling, that are focused on our weaknesses, God, and the places in our life that we can't figure out, I pray, Lord, today we wouldn't lean into ourselves, but we would lean into you because you are a mighty God. And where we are weak, you are strong. Where we are not enough, you are more than enough. And the truth is, there's no earthly relationship that will complete us. But as the holy text says here in Colossians, when we surrender our life to you, you are the one that completes us. So I pray, God, that you would move powerfully, that you would move in might. And I pray that everybody here in this room and everybody watching, listening online, that you would do a great and mighty and powerful work, not just in someone else, but in us. God, we desperately need you and your power in operation in our lives. So may you do it, Lord. May you live up to your holy, mighty name as we know you're faithful to do. And God, with expectation in our heart, even now, I pray, God, you would raise expectation. With expectation in our heart, we say and we pray all of this in the mighty, matchless, powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I don't think y'all are ready, so I hope y'all about to get ready today because it's gonna be good. You know, I think some of you can relate to this, but there have been many different times in my life when I felt overmatched and underqualified. Now, maybe you're a perfect person and you're like, no, I'll always rise to the occasion, but that's not me. And I think I maybe have a few friends that can relate to what I'm going through. In fact, I've been on job interviews before, maybe you have as well, where you knew, in fact, everybody knew that you were overmatched and you were underqualified. And the whole time you're praying that the person who's interviewing you doesn't figure out really who you are. In fact, I'm still praying that here at the church that people wouldn't figure out that about me. But like, you know that you are outmatched. You know you are underqualified. You know you don't have what they need you to have. Or maybe you've been like me before, another example, and you've walked into a gym and you felt like seeing everybody there, you are overmatched. You are underqualified. In fact, not too long ago, I went to the gym. Normally I go to a gym with like just the little HOA gym we have in our neighborhood. They have like three things in there and that works for me. But recently, I went to a very hardcore gym with a couple of awesome guys from the church, guys that got way more muscles than I could ever dream to have. And this was one of those gyms that you walk in and everybody there is serious. Like, they are serious. In fact, some of the men and the women, they are on steroids. You can just tell. Like, they are serious about what they're doing. And there's muscles sticking out everywhere. And I just walked in and I was like, I do not belong here. like I'm glad I'm with my boys here because they can just tell. They could see right through me. I was thinking about myself. And the only thing that's sticking out is my gut, you know. It's like, it's called a dad bod, y'all. Just get used to it, all right? Like, just is what it is. But I was overmatched and I was underqualified to be there. Now, there's another example I'll give you, and if you've heard me speak before, this is not a new example, but it's just the illustration that I've got, okay? So just forgive me. But the other day, I was in a situation I find myself in way too often where I needed to put together something. In fact, some of you are like, man, I've heard that story from you a million times. Well, that's the only story I've got. I'm sorry. Our baby girl just turned 2, so I guess she's not so much of a baby anymore, but she turned 2 here this last week, and so we had last weekend on a Saturday, we had a party for her, just my mom and dad over, and then our immediate family, and we celebrated her turning 2 years old, and it was great, but what was not great is the present that we all went in on was to get her a brand new play kitchen. And this just blows my mind because my family knows that I cannot put things together. Like, I struggle. I have to ask for, like, forgiveness after I attempt to do these things. But how many of y'all know, like, they chose me to put it together? Y'all thought my family was nice. They're nice, but not that nice, okay? So even though it wasn't just me going in on this present, like, it came to me to put it together. So there I am this last weekend. In fact, it was the day before on Friday, right after Thanksgiving, being thankful for everything God has given us. And there I am sitting in our bedroom. In fact, my son, he knows my weaknesses already at 6 years old. And he came in to help dad the whole time. So I thank God for him. But I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this box. And this box, friend, has a million pieces in it to this kitchen. Like, how could something the size of this podium have a million pieces? I will never know. So I open up this box and literally our entire bedroom is filled with these pieces to this play kitchen. And I just knew before I even attempted to put it together, I'm gonna have an illustration to give the church after this. Now it says on the instructions, I know it's not a new story, but again, it's all I got. It says on the instructions that it should take a normal person, and how many of y'all know I'm not normal, should take a normal person 3 hours to put this together. I know. Now, some of you are like, some of you guys and maybe some of you later is like, man, I can build things. It's not my gifting, okay? Not my calling. So there I am. I'm sitting in front of all these pieces, and I know that it takes a normal person 3 hours to put it together. Do you want to venture a guess? How long? And I was working nonstop. How long it took me to put it together? Not just twice that long. It took me 7 hours to put together. And I'm not exaggerating. In fact, I am under exaggerating if I'm exaggerating at all, because it was probably 7.5 hours. But let's round down for this one, okay? It took me 7 hours to put together. Y'all, I was outmatched by Fisher Price or whatever the brand was. A play kitchen we got from Walmart owned me. Now, it's still put together a week later. Praise God. He does miracles, y'all. It's still together. But I was outmatched. I was outgunned. I mean, it took me a full day to put together this stinking toy for our baby girl. Now, minus the venting and minus the free therapy, there's a reason I share this, okay? There's a reason. Because trust me, I honestly don't want to, because I'm with you. I would like to give you other illustrations and examples. I did not want to tell you this. Honestly, I'm embarrassed by that. Like, that's pretty pathetic. I have a college degree. I was on the dean's list. And I can't put together a kid's toy in less than 3 hours. And so there's a reason for all of this. Trust me, lean in. In many different points in my life, including this one, but way beyond it, and even way more serious things. At many different points in my life, I have been underqualified. I have been outmatched. I have been outgunned. I have been way in over my head. And maybe you can relate to that on some level. But here's what you need to know. Again, lean in. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has never felt that way. Like never. At one point in his life, at any point in his life, and he's always existed, by the way, God eternal, he has never been outmatched. He is mighty to save. He has never been up in heaven trying to figure out his next move. He knows every move he will ever make. God, Jesus Christ, he is a mighty God. He is omnipotent. He has all power and all might. I told y'all weren't ready. Can y'all wake up a little bit today on Sunday, December the 8th? He is all powerful. He has all authority. I don't care if you're a Republican, a Democrat, or somewhere in the middle. He is greater than any politician that has ever lived. He is greater than any king, any queen. He has all authority, all power. It's the very essence of who he is. He's not just some patty cake hippie God. He is powerful. He is mighty. He is bigger than anything you will ever face. And Isaiah, 700 years, some say, before Jesus incarnate came to this earth, put skin on, before it all, he predicted that this is who Jesus would be, that nothing is too hard for him. But friend, it's not just earthly people, these false little g gods. He is greater. Any religion, any man-made thing out there, he is far greater than it all. Today, I'm going to encourage you from God's word, and I believe God's going to challenge you to enlarge your view of our mighty, mighty God. In fact, I just got a couple of things to say, a couple of points, and here's the first one. First point from Colossians chapter 2, speaking of his mighty power. Number one, I hope you'll jot this down. Jesus has no rival. Jesus has no rival. This is verses 9 through 10. For in Jesus lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every, not some, not most, every ruler, every authority. And friend, this is paramount. If you want to know who Jesus is, you need to know this. This is critical when it comes to Jesus and his character and who he is. No one is beside him. And the truth is, no one even comes close to him. He is high above all. And what's unfortunate is a lot of people have a misconception about God and good and evil and the devil. There's a huge misconception. It's not just outside the church, it is unfortunately inside the church. A lot of people see God and the devil as this big rivalry. In fact, a lot of us that are college football fans, we had big rivalry games all yesterday, the conference championships, the NFL, National Football League, we're at the end of the season, and a lot of those games, not all, they're big rivalry games. They've got history. You don't know who's going to be on top at any given game, in any given year. I want you to know that is not how God operates. He has no rival. If that illustration doesn't work for you, think about Star Wars. Got a new one coming out here really soon. Many people, I think it's like 15 million plus, have subscribed to Disney Plus, and we got all this Star Wars stuff. And I'm telling you, God does not operate in that same way like you see in the movies or on TV shows. In Star Wars, there's this epic battle, good versus evil. It balances each other out. And I'm telling you, that's not how God works. It's not how it works. Couldn't be farther from the truth. Jesus has no rival. He is greater. He is our mighty God. I love this quote from one of the biblical commentaries I studied this past week. Here's what it said, talking about these verses. All power structures, ancient or modern, whether political, economic, or racial, they all had the potential to become rivals to Jesus, beckoning his followers to submit themselves to them in order to find a fuller security. The invitation is as blasphemous as it is unnecessary. Jesus Christ has no rivals. His people need no one but him. Friend, I know you've bought into the lie. Well, if I could just get married, or if we could just have kids, or if I could just get this job, or if I could just make a little bit more money, then I'll be satisfied. Then I'll be happy. If I could just have more, all that stuff's fine and dandy. But what you really need, who you really need, is Jesus. He is the only one. He has no rival. In fact, I challenge you later today, listen to a song that we sing many times called What a Beautiful Name, and it speaks of this. There is no one close to him, and that should stir faith on the inside of you, that even if you face cancer, that even if you face disease, that even if you face hardship, he is greater than all of that. Man, I'm preaching way better. Can anybody help me out today? It's tough up here, all right? Y'all can amen me. I won't get mad at you. Let faith stir on the inside of you. He's not just some baby in a manger. Yes, that really happened, but he's a savior. He is risen. He has all power and authority, and he can help you. There's no competition between Jesus and any other man-made system, any other religion out there. Why? And this is controversial, but I believe it with every bone in my body. Why? Because Jesus is the only God. You can tweet out, you can email me, you can be mad at me, you can never show up again, but I'm going to tell you the truth. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. You want to get to heaven, you go through Jesus. That's how it works. You know, I'll never forget the powerful personal story, and maybe you've heard of this man, maybe you haven't. Since passed now, but he's a legendary pastor in China. His name is Watchman Nee. In one of his books, he talks about a missionary journey that he went on, and it just struck me this past week, and I want to share it with you quickly. But he's on a missionary journey, Pastor Nee, and he had six other people that went with him. They went to this small island off the South China coast. And they were there just simply to preach Jesus. During their trip, and if you've been on mission trips, you know this is the normal flow, but during their trip there, they would go out consistently and they would preach the gospel, but sadly, basically no one in the village was getting saved on this small island. There seemed to be, the way he described it, as a barrier, as a wall keeping people from surrendering their life to Jesus Christ. Well, eventually, after a little bit of time on this small island, they figured out, the missionaries, what was going on. You see, the people on this small island, they were worshiping an idol, a statue they had made, that false little g god, something they could control. And they were convinced that this power was coming from, the power they perceived to have was coming from this false idol. And every year they had a festival parade celebrating this false god, worshiping this false god. And every single year up to this point on that festival, it would not rain. And this was a sign to these villagers on this small island that this false little g god was their god and had power. So the missionary group, they find this out, and they also hear that the annual festival is coming up. And the date every year is picked by some of the village elders who are worshiping the false idol and apparently getting insight from it. And this year, in this story, they picked January the 11th. That's important. January the 11th at 8 a.m. in the morning. Well, I love this, and I know people like this. There was one of those seven missionaries total, counting Pastor Nee. There's one of them that stood up in the middle of that village hearing this news. And here's what they said. You got to be audacious to say this. But they stood up and they said out loud boldly that, "I know it never rains on your festival, but this year it's going to rain." Like some of us, like we need people like that in our life, that they can show a little boldness, they can be a little audacious, and they can stand up for their faith and say, "You know what? I know what's been happening, but it's going to happen differently this time." I just love that. And so what happened with that missionary group? They said, "You know what? We're going to pray. We're going to pray, and we're going to believe God that it's actually going to rain, even though it normally doesn't." And all the people on this island, they are furious. To them, it was blasphemous talking about that it's going to rain, that it's not going to be withheld on that day. But again, the missionaries began to pray. They began to ask God. Well, fast forward to earlier than 8 a.m. on January the 11th, and there's not a cloud in the sky. Not a cloud. In fact, it makes me think about what the Bible says with Elijah and praying and eventually seeing a cloud the size of a man's fist. And they're there and they don't see any clouds, but what do? They pray harder. They pray longer. And I got to tell you, friend, this is awesome. At the exact time of the festival, rain began to come down. The exact moment. Not a cloud in the sky earlier that morning, but at 8 a.m. on January the 11th, rain began to come down. And these islanders, these villagers, they're freaking out. They're like, what are we going to do? This never happened before. These missionaries, they're here and we don't want them here. And one of them stood up and said this would happen and it's never happened before. What are we going to do? And so here's what they do. They grab that false man-made idol. They're like, maybe we got to get it outside and then the rain will stop. So they carry this idol outside, but the moment they get the idol outside, the false little G God, it rains harder, y'all. But not just that, they trip over themselves and they drop the idol and it breaks. So because of this, the mighty power of God, because of this moment, there's many villagers that give their life to Jesus. But can I tell you, the story doesn't end there. The elders in the village, they get together after this and like, this is not good. This is not good. It's never happened before. We're losing people. And so they pray to their false little G, that God that's broken now. And they're like, you know what? We picked the wrong date. It wasn't really January 11th. It was supposed to be January 14th. So they switched the date. Well, what does a missionary group do? They pray again. And from that moment on January the 11th, to the moment of the new festival date on January the 14th, it does not rain at all until the exact moment of that new festival date. And it didn't just rain, it was torrential rain. It wasn't just torrential rain, it was a flood that came from it. And again, many, many people gave their life to Jesus. Why are you telling me this, Pastor? Jesus has no rival. He just needs some men and some women that will stand up and rise up and say, you know what? I believe that Jesus is not just one of the gods. He is the God. He needs some men and some women that will sell out and believe that who God says he is, he is. He is a mighty God. He has no rival. Nothing is too big for him. Think about your life. Anytime you've experienced the power of God, it changes you. Think about the Bible. Anytime that Jesus showed off and did a miracle and displayed his power, people and oftentimes entire villages came to know God. Maybe the problem's not with God. Maybe the problem's with your faith. Trying to encourage you, but also challenge you today. Jesus has no rival. So here's the question before I get to the second and last point. Here's the question. Even though he has no rival, who are you placing? What are you placing beside him? Maybe it's politics. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's an earthly relationship. Maybe it's a job, a career. Maybe it's your schooling. Maybe it's followers on social media. But what are you doing to place something beside Jesus? Because, friend, Jesus should have no rival. Not just when it comes to the entire world, but when it comes to your personal life. Who have you put beside him? What have you put beside him? There should be none beside him. Here's the second point from Colossians chapter 2. Speaking of his mighty power, number 2, Jesus brings the dead to life. And if you've been saved in this room, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. Jesus brings the dead to life. This is verses 11 through 12. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God, not yourself, the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Now, I know you didn't want to go there, but we got to go there because the text goes there. Let's talk about circumcision for a moment, okay? We've got to talk about it. It's important. Here's why. It was, and it still is to this day, a very important thing in Jewish culture. And so when the Apostle Paul, the author of Colossians, speaks to this thing, this issue, they knew exactly what he was talking about. It was and is to this day a physical step that people would take to enter into the community of Israel. It was critical, and people that are still Jewish today, it is critical. And so what is the Apostle Paul doing? He's addressing the elephant in the room. Let me translate it to our context today. Here's what he's saying to the Colossian church. Hey, I know there is a temptation to go back to your old way of life. Going back to what's comfortable. Again, Jewish people going through these rituals, these things that adopted them in to the Israel community. Going back to your old way of life, your old rituals, the old covenant. In fact, I'd write that down if you're taking notes. Paul's saying to the Colossians, he's saying to us, I know it's easy for you to go back to that old life. What's comfortable, something you can control. But it's the old way, and Jesus is the new way. It's what Paul's saying. Now, fast forward to 2019, and this is not an issue with us unless maybe you're from Jewish descent. But still, we struggle with old covenant versus new covenant. Old covenant versus new covenant. If you're taking notes, write that down. Old and new covenant. And if we were honest, there is a tendency for every single person, including myself, to drift back to the old covenant. Well, what's the old covenant? Let me make it as simple as possible. If I do this and this, I'm forgiven. If I can do this and that, then I'm good with God. I follow these commandments, I offer these physical sacrifices, I stay away from these unclean things, I take part in these rituals, and then I'll get to God. But friend, that's old covenant, that's religion. It's something you and me can control. It's old, but God has brought about the new. In fact, I want you to hear this. Jesus didn't abolish the old covenant. He fulfilled the old covenant and he brought the new. Old covenant, you're not getting it yet. I got to get you here. Old covenant is to strive, but new covenant is rest. Did you like it better already? Old covenant is work, but new covenant is grace. Old covenant is religion, but new covenant is relationship. Well, how do I know if I've gone back to the old covenant in religion? Because many of us have, unfortunately. How do I know? Here's how. Religion, old covenant, weighs you down. It weighs you down because you think that you can follow these rules and follow these guidelines and then I'll please God. It teaches that you have to earn your eternal life. And some of you are living that way. You would never say it out loud, but you're living that way. And can I tell you something that maybe you already know? You are not good enough to earn your eternal life in Christ. I'm not good enough. You could be Mother Teresa in the house today. You're not good enough to get to God. Here's another way you know that you're following the old covenant still, that you're religious. Religion is exhausting. Religion is frustrating. Religion is hopeless. So some of you sitting here today looking at me and watching, listening online, that's how you feel. You're exhausted. I just can't keep up. Man, I wish I read my Bible more and I wish I prayed more. And the heart behind it is not so you can get closer to God. The heart behind it is because you feel like you're disappointing God. That's religion. That's old covenant. Jesus didn't abolish all of that. He fulfilled the old covenant. You're trying to work your way to God. In fact, you just coming to the building to get today, you just logging in, showing up online, listening, you felt better about your relationship with God. Why? That's you checking off a box. You're religious. You're following the old covenant. Should you come to church? Absolutely. It's way more fun when you're here than when you're not here, okay? Yeah, things should go. Yes, we grow together. Yes, we encourage each other. But that doesn't make God more pleased with you. That's working. That's trying to strive, trying to earn. If you're here today and you're exhausted, you're frustrated, you know you should have hope, but you do not have hope, it's probably because your salvation depends on you and not God. I'm preaching to somebody's soul today. God's speaking to you. Stop trying to earn it. You will never earn it. Remember what Paul says at the end of verse 12. And with Jesus, you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God. Can I tell you something? You are not enough. But God is. You're not strong enough. But God is. All that volunteering and all that's great. But it's not enough. You couldn't get to God. Would you look at my eyes for a moment? Like, this is not time. Like, lean in. I'm not here just to play patty cake. I want to help you from God's word. This is not a game. Lean in today. Look at my eyes. Stop settling for so much less than God has for you. He is real. He is powerful. Like, I'm not just saying this. I moved my family to Houston to tell you this. I changed everything. I laid it all down to come here, to be a part of what God's doing here, because I got some truth to tell. And this is not Ryan Weems' truth. This is God's truth. He is a mighty God. And I know there's cancer, and I know there's disease. I know there's hurt. I know there's pain, but he is greater than all. He is above all. Every name, every knee, everyone will bow at the name of Jesus. He is a mighty God. So stop telling God about your situation. Start speaking to your situation and telling them about God. Dante, Phil, I'm trying up here, man. I'm giving it my all. I say this all the time, and I'll say it again. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. And in our sin, we were dead. But Christ, but Jesus, he's into the resurrection business, not just in a church, what he's doing here, but in us personally. He is a miracle worker. He hasn't closed up shop. He can heal you of any sickness, any disease, any cancer. He can heal your mind and your emotions. He can do it all. But in my opinion, the greatest miracle God does is save sinners like me. To resurrect me personally. And if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, not adding him as a supplement to your life, but surrendering your entire life. If you've never done that, today is your day. And I gotta tell you, friend, you would be surrendering your life to someone who is greater than you, who knows more than you, who knows all things, has all power, and could take way better care of you than ever you could ever take care of yourself. He is a mighty God. He's a mighty God. Why don't you bow your heads with me? His name shall be Mighty God. Mighty God. No one stirring, please. You can pack up here in just a moment. But those here in this room, those watching, listening online, my heart, my prayer, my effort, all of it was for one purpose today, that you would see Jesus for who he really is. Not through the dirty lens of culture, not through the dirty lens of your past or the pain of your present, but you would see Jesus clearly. Not what somebody else has said about him, but who he says he is. Yes, he's all powerful. Yes, he's mighty. But today and every day, he wants to have a relationship with you. Stop going back to the old covenant, the old ways. That if I just went to church more, if I just gave more, then he'd be happy. That's old covenant. That's the law. That's striving. That's work. Holy Spirit, I pray right now, whoever this word is for, I pray you'd sink it into their heart. Stop striving and start surrendering. He is mighty to save. He's mighty to save. Close your eyes with me if they're not closed already. If you're watching, listening online, close your eyes as well. The Holy Spirit's speaking to you. Maybe you're underneath the sound of my voice and you're thinking, you know what, Pastor, you're right. I see God clearly. Yeah, I don't have all the answers, but I see. God is opening up my eyes. And maybe as you look at your life today, just honestly, you might as well be honest with God because he knows it all anyways. Today, as you look at your life, you're like, you know what? I haven't fully surrendered. I haven't. I've been working. I've been striving. When I'm doing good one week, I feel great about my relationship with God. But when I stumble and when I fall, I feel like he's so displeased and I feel like I've got to make it up to him. But today I realize, Pastor, that I've been going back to the old covenant. I've been going back to the old ways. I've been trying to be my own savior. But today I realize, just be honest before God, today I realize that I am not enough, but he is more than enough. That I'm outmatched, I'm outgunned, I'm underqualified. But Jesus, he's never been outgunned, he's never been outmatched, not a day in his life. And today you have an opportunity. I'm not gonna embarrass you. I'm not going to usher you off somewhere else, but right where you're seated, right where you're watching, right where you're listening, you have an opportunity not to add Jesus as a supplement, but to surrender all to Jesus. To place your past, your present, and your future in his hand. To make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. To accept his grace and his mercy. So with no one looking but me, every eye closed in this room, respond online as well. If you're here today and you've never surrendered, like truly surrendered your life to Jesus, or maybe you're here and you want to make a fresh commitment to him, would you raise your hand? Thank you so much. Come on, keep it up for a moment. God is so good. God sees your hand. Respond online as well. God, you're so good. Thank you for those being honest with you. You can put your hand down. Keep your eyes closed, everybody. I'm going to lead those that raised your hand. Just a moment ago, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It's a prayer of surrender to Jesus. But you will not say it alone because I'm going to ask you to repeat it out loud. You won't say it alone. There'll be a whole bunch of people in this room. They're going to lift their voices as well, letting you know you're not alone. Your first time surrendering to Christ, or maybe you're making a fresh commitment to him. Jesus, you are not a supplement. You're our Savior, and we surrender all. So those that raise your hand and everybody else as well, say this out loud after me. Jesus, I surrender every aspect of my life. Jesus, I give you my past. I give you my present. And I give you my future. Jesus, I believe. Come on, say that again. I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the grave. And so I ask you to forgive me of every sin. Jesus, clean me up from the inside out. I need you. Jesus, I put my trust, my faith, my life in your hands. Come on, say this out loud after me. Holy Spirit, help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen and amen. Can you celebrate with me what God just did? God, you're so good.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ's Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.